Luke chapter 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said to him also, be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Why then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with interest? He said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, and to every one who hath shall be given, and from him that hath not even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, who would not that I should reign over them, bring here, and slay them before me. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We will not be expounding that passage of scripture, but using that passage of scripture as a basis for our message this evening, which is entitled Stewards Over All. And our message is not because the treasury of the gospel chapel happens to be low, or because anyone needs to be involved in a fundraising campaign. It is not at all because of that. But it is the word of God, and stewardship involves not only money, but involves our time, involves our talents, all of these things together. It involves our entire lives. And God has entrusted to us all that we are and all that we have to be used for him. And there's a day coming, we call it the judgment day for the believers, which is the rewarding day, really. Judgment for the unregenerate, but it's the day that is called judgment day for the believers is really a hard word. It's a rewarding day. God would have judged, yes, and it's all written in the books, what we have done for him. But that passage goes on to talk about how God is going to reward his servants. It's going to be a great day for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have described it as being a sad day for some of us because of the loss. I don't know whether we'll be sad. It's going to be in his presence. I can't picture sadness in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ myself. But those who would want to argue that, I'll let them argue it. Because what is lost will be lost. And those who have gained would have gained because they have adhered to the word of God and they've invested what God gave them wisely. And I say overemphasis sometimes is placed on money coming from this passage when the emphasis is not just on that which God gives us in the way of material things, but God entrusts to us those things which are spiritual as well. God is investing by His Holy Spirit through the life of His Son, by His Word, into our lives continually. And God is giving to us the riches of His grace. And God is expecting from us every Lord's Day that as we gather together, that we come to worship and that we come to bring something of appreciation according to our ability, according to what we can appreciate, but to bring it in appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we've appreciated of Him. And God expects that every week. There are many Christians who think nothing of the Lord's table, and maybe they think of the judgment seat. But God wants us every week to bring that. God wants us every day of our lives to be a sweet odor, ascending into His nostrils day by day, moment by moment. And then I say to remember His Son in a unique way, and to bring our baskets of first ripe fruit. Then to remember when all of this culminated into that great event, and that great day at the end when all of this life is over, and we're safe on that beautiful shore, and we're with the Lord forevermore, there's going to be that judgment seat of Christ. Stewards over all. Someone wrote a little poem, and it goes like this. It's called Leftovers. Leftovers are such humble things. We would not serve them to a guest. And yet we serve them to our Lord, who deserves the very best. We give to Him leftover time, stray minutes here and there, leftover cash we give to Him, such few coins as we can spare. We give our youth unto the world, to hatred, lust, and strife. Then in declining years, we give to Him the remnant of our lives. We are stewards of our entire being. And it's fulfilling the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a part of the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves the fulfillment of that great commission. There cannot be the fulfillment of the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ without the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular realizing their obligation, their responsibility to God in regard to the stewardship of all that He's entrusted to us. Stewards of what God has given us. It requires an understanding of our role in the economy of God. Yes, there is an economy of God. And God requires each of us, each one of us, God requires that we have an understanding of what our role must be. A young boy responded to the meaning of stewardship like this. He said, "It means that life is a ship loaded with a cargo of many things, on its way to many people in many places." And he said, "God is the owner, but I am the captain of the ship, and He holds me responsible for the distribution." Not perfect, no, but a good illustration. In the New Testament, for instance, there are two different words that describe a steward. One word emphasizes guardianship, and it's like being a guardian over children. It's being an administrator of a business, of a man's wealth that has been entrusted to us. An administrator or a master of a man's household. A man is going away, and he entrusts his children. He entrusts his household, everything that he has, to us. And the second is, the second is that it shows us as a manager over property. And I believe that in either case, that God expects us as stewards to oversee the affairs of his property. It's not our property. It's his. My life belongs to him. And I need to get this ownership business straightened out. Property causes a lot of problems. It's caused wars. Only got to go there to Israel and you see in Bosnia. Just go over there in South Africa where they're having elections starting today and yesterday and on through maybe the next day. They're saying they may extend it. Recently in a certain little town, the whole town was torn up over one little piece of property. Over a piece of property. And people try to determine ownership of property. And they go way back and dig into the records that the government holds. And they get surveyors and they get people who have lived around for a long time to swear out affidavits to determine ownership very often of property. And very often believers don't have a problem with ownership. Take my life and let it be is a beautiful song to sing. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Sounds nice, but in the reality of it all, it becomes a problem. Because it has become very difficult for us in relation to what we hold, what we control, and what we feel God ought to control. Somehow we divorce certain things from others and we say, now there's a category for God and there's a category for me. And it all belongs to God. The Bible teaches us that it all belongs to Him. We sing a little chorus sometimes. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. Recently I was in a little town and young fellow there named Junior. And Junior Sweeting walks around town, and as he walks around town, he walks with his head straight, and you'd think Junior wasn't playing with all of his marbles. And but you stop and talk to Junior, you discover that as he passes you by, he'd never speak to you. But you stop him, he's an interesting character to speak to. And so Junior was around quite a bit at a conference I was at, and always having something very smart to say. One day I was talking to him about giving. As we were eating a lot of food and other things were happening. And it was interesting something that he said. He said that when he gets his pension from government, he takes out 10%. And he said that belongs to the Lord. And I said, well, who do you give that to? And he said, well, the church. And he named the church where he goes. And I said, that's very good, very nice, Junior. I said, but you've been feasting for a week here at this church, so maybe when you get, and I was saying this with tongue in cheek, I said, kidding him, I said, maybe you ought to split that into 4 parts and give 3 parts to the church where you're going for 3 weeks and give 1 part to this church. Since you've been feeding the spiritual food, the Bible tells you that where you've been fed spiritually is where you ought to be giving your money, your finances. And I said, Junior, I got an illustration to draw for you. And I looked down the road, and there was a stone about this big, and it was white. So I picked it up, and I quickly drew a circle about 6 feet around. I put my arm around his shoulder and I said, Junior, come, I want you to stand in the middle of this circle. And he did. And he stood there just like this. And I said, now, Junior, the prayer that you must pray is, Lord, everything that's in this circle belongs to you. Everything. And by then, there were 30 or 40 people who were around just standing looking at Junior. They're expecting to say something that was smart. And Junior stood and he looked this way and he looked that way and finally he said, I might take my wallet out before I step in. And that's what a lot of people do, right? Junior spoke volumes. A lot of people take their wallet out before they step in. A lot of people will take their talents out before they step in. A lot of people will take their time out. Lord, I'm going to step in the circle. And Lord, I'm going to pray that prayer. Everything that I have belongs to you. But Lord, I'm going to take a part of this out. James Kennedy was telling someone, he told me just a couple of weeks ago, that Dr. D. James Kennedy was speaking from Malachi on Will a Man Rob God. And he used the illustration of a little boy that his father had been teaching him to give. And he always wanted to put something in the collection plate when it came around. So the little boy had $10, and his father counted out the $10 for him. He counted them out. And he said, now, one belongs to God. That's one-tenth. And the little boy got it. And he folded the dollar bill up and put the other money was in his pocket. And his father didn't know until he saw him drop the money in the collection plate. And when his father saw him drop it, he dropped $2. So immediately after the service, his father said to the little boy, but you were only supposed to drop $1. That was one-tenth. And he said, yes, Daddy. But the one-tenth belonged to God. And the other one I gave to God. And I thought it was a good illustration. He said, the one-tenth, that $1 I gave to God. But the other one was a sacrifice. Was one that he had to willingly give. His father had taught him to give that way. We're our own stewards instead of our personal time. And so because it is our personal time, we are personally responsible. There are decisions that I make and that we make every day. And God holds me accountable for the way that I spend God's money. We say now, the brethren down at the church, they spend God's money. But we forget that we spend God's money. Every penny that I have belongs to Him. And so how I spend it, He's holding me just as accountable as those brethren down to the church. And God wants me to spend it so that it can be effective. You see, the average Christian really has no idea of the basic principles of stewardship. In fact, it's been a learning experience for me as I studied the subject. There are very popular teachings around, misconceptions, many of them very misleading. And many sincere believers are misled by the things that they hear on television and by sometimes association with other people. And very often you find believers and they really have no idea of exactly what they are responsible for as stewards. And as a result, the kingdom of God loses out. Valuable resources that could be used in spreading the gospel, that could be used to glorify God, to build up the church of Jesus Christ. Valuable resources that could be used to change lives. Because God's power is still available. It's the power of the risen Christ. And yet God has given to us gifts and God has entrusted to us things of time and things that are really only for time. But what we do with them lasts for eternity. And so how do I invest wisely in the kingdom of God? That's an important question because according to how I invest in the kingdom of God, whether or not I invest wisely can be a determining factor in whether or not my effectiveness for Christ is what it ought to be. I don't believe that we ought to operate blindly. I believe that we ought to have principles, principles that guide us. And in the assemblies, we know that word, principles. We build our church doctrine, our New Testament church doctrine, on principles. We call them principles of the New Testament church. They're biblical principles. And I know there are a lot of people out there going around giving seminars on how to invest your money and how to invest your time. Many of them never consulting the Word of God. I believe believers can know the joy of the Lord in being stewards and being the right stewards over what God has entrusted to them. And it's important that we follow biblical principles. The Lord Jesus Christ had a whole lot to say about wealth and what we do with wealth. He talked about those who trust in wealth. Lord Jesus Christ talked about those who were trusting their eternal well-being and eternal welfare in the things of time and sense. And there are those out there who are doing that. And the Lord said to the church, don't put your trust in riches. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. John said, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Psalm 1 says it like this. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, if we meditate upon His Word day and night, if we always seek ways to follow Him more closely, it says we are like trees along a riverbank. Trees that send their roots down and get the refreshing water. And because of that, they blossom and they bloom and they produce luscious fruit. And he says they do it in season without fail, is what it's saying. Their leaves will never wither. And everything that they do will prosper. The Lord Jesus Christ, He taught the responsibility of stewardship. He taught that it is our responsibility to give to God. Our task. Our task, as someone has said, to manage our time. That's a problem for all of us, managing time. What we do with our time. What we do with our time when we're home. What we do with our time when we're out. What we do with the 24 hours a day that God has entrusted to us. What we do with our talents. What we do. In the passage which we read, there are differences in these personalities and what they did with their talents. Some burned out for God. Some used every penny they had for God. Heard about a church that was running low on funds, and they decided they was going to give everybody in the church, 160 members, everybody a $1 bill. And the pastor got up after they had handed out the $1 bills, and he said, now I want you to take that $1 bill, and I want you to invest that for God. Every one of you. And in 3 weeks' time, I want you to bring back the money that you've made for God. Well, it's amazing when they came back, the stories that they told. They tripled the money, but the amazing thing was that some of them, being ignorant of what to do, went out, and one man, he invested his dollar on the lottery. And he brought it back to the church. As it multiplied, and he made $10. Eventually they raised $6,000. But that's not the way to invest our money and our time for God. We are stewards of our time, of our talent, and our treasure. They're the three T's of our stewardship. And through all of these, we can bring glory to God. Because our lives are an heritage of God. And what God entrusts to us belongs to Him. And God expects us to give Him the maximum return on His investment. It's God's investment. I say it's my investment. It's God's investment. The Bible says it like this. It comes from the Psalms. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and every person who lives in it. We were created by Him. He bought us. The Bible says He bought us with His precious blood. and God has anointed him as Lord. The ownership of us is eternal. God has never given that up. Jesus Christ has never given up the ownership. We belong to him eternally. But I believe that if you took a census throughout the world of the Church of Jesus Christ, what you would discover is that there are so many believers who only give intellectually. It's an intellectual assent to the principles of stewardship. And so as far as they're concerned, it's just their mind is telling them what to do. Their mind is controlling them. As far as the fundamental teaching of it, they are not concerned about learning about that. Our responsibility. What is my responsibility in the kingdom of God? Is it that I just come to church, be a member of a church, find the best church with the maximum benefits, make sure there's a good pension scheme, make sure that they'll take care of me every step of the way, find the best church out there? Is that it? No, I think God teaches us that we are to invest, that we are to give, that stewards, being a steward means that we give back to God. Our entire lives are given back to God. God is our master. The Lord Jesus Christ is seen as our master, but God is over all, and he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are responsible to the Godhead. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. And now he lives forever to make sure that we're protected, to make sure that one day, through his precious blood, we will be in his presence forevermore. He's our intercessor. He's our lawyer. He's our attorney. He stands and he defends the Church of Jesus Christ. He said to Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. You and I never know what we're going to be tempted with. We never know what God is going to entrust to us to invest for him. And Jesus Christ has prayed for us that everything that we do, we'll do wisely. That everything that we do, we'll do for his glory. That our lives be lived in the light of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives, our personality, our influence, our material substance, every single thing that we have, even our successes, even the things that we count gain. Paul said that I give them all to him, even my successes. Here are some basic principles that I have noted in relation to stewardship. Number one, I call them the blessings of stewardship. I believe the Bible teaches that there's great joy in giving. There's great joy in giving. The principle is this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And I have been blessed abundantly by things that other people have given me. But the greatest blessings that I have ever known have come through my giving. I believe that the blessings also involve not only joy, but the fact that God will multiply the events. And so you have an event, and there's an opportunity to do something for God. And as God sees us enjoying fulfillment of this responsibility, God continues to give us opportunities. He continues to bring people into our paths. He continues to bring situations before us. They can be missionaries. They can be somebody who has a need next to us. And I believe that God will multiply also the choices that we make. And God will help us in making the right choices. I believe that thirdly, God delights in giving to his children. We must not forget that. The great example of giving is the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave heaven's best. He gave all. Jesus Christ was the embodiment of glory. He fills all in all, the Bible says. God had given all. He gave himself. I'm not sure that we get with our hymns. I'm not sure our hymns take us and help us in plumbing the depth of that. He gave his all. Jesus Christ is God. And when Jesus Christ gives his life, he's giving all to us. Gave his love. He loved the world so that he was willing to hang on a cross and to die. God delights in giving to his children. We must never use the term luck as a child of God. Never. Never. It's the providence of God. God provides for us. God provides for us day by day, moment by moment. Whether it's the job that we have, God provides for us. Now there are times we'll step out of God's will and we take things into our own hands. And God will permit us to do that in his permissive will. Elimelech did not have to leave Bethlehem because there was a famine. God had promised him that he would take care of his family in Bethlehem. Elimelech looked at the circumstances and took his eyes off of his God. The spies that went in to spy out the land for the children of Israel, they saw the giants in the land. They saw the circumstances. And they came back, a majority of them. Caleb didn't agree with them. But a majority of them agreed. They agreed that they couldn't go in because they'd be defeated. And God had promised them that I will be with you. I'm your God. Victory is yours. You are on the side that has already won. These little skirmishes, they're nothing. I'll see you to the promised land. But because of that, because of unbelief, the Bible says all they did was make circles in the sand. And every time they made a circle, they buried their family and friends until every one of them perished and they buried them. And they were literally in a graveyard. In a graveyard. That's what unbelief does. God delights in giving to his children. And it's exciting to see how God provides. And I think we ought to be excited when we see not only just preachers, God, all of us are in the same category. We are provided for, and it looks as if it's coming from a different source, but remember, it's all coming from the same source. God is providing for all of us. And it's exciting to see how God provides. You men who go fishing know how that God directs the wind. God directs the skies, the elements. God controls it. And God is working. I believe another principle is this. God always honors faithful giving. We give to God faithfully. God will always honor that. What are the qualifications of a steward? If we faithfully use all that God entrusts to us, and if we keep the ownership of everything that God has given us clearly in focus, what if I lose? What if I have something and I lose it? Is God in that? Yes, God is in that too. Sometimes God sees that having certain things is going to affect me spiritually. And God knows that sometimes I need to be in poverty. Because out of poverty, he can get my attention and I'm focusing on him because I'm against the wall. I have nowhere else to turn. And sometimes God has to put me in that place as a believer. And so God would cause me to focus on the things that I have as being His, and that I am the steward of all that I possess. And in times of tragedy, when I lose things, something burns down, a bank goes bad, somebody stole my boat, God is superintending, and God will bring blessing out of what seems to be a tragedy. And my task is this, as a steward of all that God entrusts to me, is to trust Him. But to add one word to that, trust Him completely. That's where I fail. To trust Him completely. Whatever it is. And so what is true Christian stewardship? The definition that I gave earlier was as a steward. A steward is one who oversees the affairs of a household or a state. A steward manages the accounts or the prosperity of another. And I believe there are five qualifications of a good steward. Number one, a good steward is faithful. I think the Bible teaches that, and this is why I believe that the New Testament church is built around gathering together on the Lord's Day. And I believe that gathering together on the Lord's Day, it's not a spasmodic thing in relation to my worship, not a spasmodic thing in relation to my prayers, not a spasmodic thing in relation to my faithfulness. Now, there were those who would say, but that's only every Lord's Day. But if a believer meets once a week, as the New Testament church did, and remembers the Lord in the breaking of bread, and in the ministry of the word, and in the prayers, their lives can be faithful. Their lives can be strengthened. And I believe that when you see a person gathering every Lord's Day, he's also giving his money. That's the time when the church takes its collection according to the New Testament. That's the time the church makes it available. It's not really when I use those terms. A lot of terms we use is just picked up from out there, taking collections, and really, it's not a New Testament thing in the sense that we see others the way they do it, right? Because it's really, and I'll hear somebody say, we're going to lift the offering. And what we do is, we present an opportunity for the believers to respond to what the teaching of the New Testament is in relation to giving. And I believe a believer who consistently gives every Lord's Day to the Lord and to His work will be reckoned as being faithful. Faithful in giving. Now, there's much more involved in it than that. And so Paul wrote, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. The Living Bible paraphrases it this way. The most important thing about a steward is that he does just what his master tells him to do. That's the passage that we read. God was angry. The master was angry because of the one who didn't do what he told him to do, who buried it. But he was pleased with those who invested it, even though all of them didn't have the same amount to give back to him. Because all of them don't have the same ability. All of them don't have the same capacity. But God was pleased and God was happy with that which had been invested and that which had brought forth abundantly. But there was those who said, hey, I don't have to do what God said. And yet the Bible says that God requires that in stewardship a man be faithful. Faithfulness. And he does what his master tells him to do. Faithfulness, somebody has said, is dependability. Ain't a lot of that going around today, you know. Every time we bury one of our senior citizens, what we say is, and it's true, that we're losing a lot of these qualities. Because a lot that's out there in the world today, there used to be a time when a man could shake, you could shake hands, and a man's word was his bond. We're living in a world today. You can go before attorneys and sign all the documents, and it seems as if sometimes it doesn't mean a single thing. It doesn't mean a thing. I believe God requires that as believers, He can depend upon us to follow His word, a steady day by day obedience to what He has given us to do, whatever the task is that He's given us to do. And so there is the obedience to the commands of Scripture. There's His word. And so to be faithful means we must be faithful in obeying the word of God. That's important. And there are possessions that are in God's word. There are promises, and there are possessions, and there are provisions in God's word for us. Possessions, provisions, promises in God's word for us that we must claim as believers. I believe, thirdly, there has to be a daily commitment to walk in the light. If we're going to be faithful to God, if God can depend on us. The choir sings a song. May the Lord depend on you. Loyalty is... But there's no question about whether or not we can depend on Him. There's no question, right? But there's always a question mark alongside of me whether He can depend on me. You see, He's given me a free will. But God is God. He doesn't change. I can be assured of that. The Word of God declares in the very beginning, in the beginning God, I don't have to go past that. In the beginning God, He's the faithful one. He's the dependable one. But can He trust me? May the Lord depend on you. Loyalty is but is due. And so there has to be a daily commitment to walk in the light as He's in the light. It involves abiding in Christ. It involves letting the Word of God abide in us. And I believe that then we can qualify as being faithful stewards. I said a good steward is faithful, but secondly, a good steward is trustworthy. Trustworthiness depends on, and it involves integrity. Another word that is not used too frequently today about men, integrity. In the world of business, there are not too many men out there that you can really put your stock in, as they say. In the world of politics, there are few and far between men of integrity. And out there in the religious world, there ain't many out there that you can put your stock in. Guarantee you. Integrity. A good steward is trustworthy. Can God trust me? Can God trust me? Is my word my bond? Can God look into my heart and see that the word of God that I've learned, that I'm seeking to live day by day, and that the commitments I've made to Him, the confessions I've made to Him, that I'm living up to those commitments and those confessions? You know, there are believers who think nothing of lying. Now and again, I'll hear somebody say, man, you can't trust them, or you can't trust him, or you can't trust her, they'll say, because I catch them in lies all the time. That's serious. That's serious if you catch a believer in consistent lying, right? All of us sin in thought, word, and deed. And for any of us to stand up and say, well, I don't lie, that would be a serious thing. Because we sin. And there are different ways of lying. But a believer don't continue in sin now that he's a believer. And I can't think of any justification for lying or deceitfulness. Deceitfulness. As a believer before God, My life is an open book. It must be. It must be an open book. I can't deceive him. I might deceive other people. And very often people never see the real me. I never see the real you.